For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Thanks, Samantha. Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer tonight as we come around the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We thank you for your wonderful blessing in our life. We thank you for the privilege that we have to worship and to praise and to serve you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you continue with us and that we continue with you strongly in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're looking at being quiet from fear of evil, being quiet from fear of evil. A very relevant topic in today's time. How can you be quiet from fear of evil when fear is all around you? How can you be quiet from fear of evil when all types of things seem to be acting against Christ, seem to be acting against the church, seem to be acting against Christians? How can you do that? How can you be quiet, that is, not have that trouble enter into your heart? That is, to be able to be at peace. If you think about being quiet, it means you're not full of trouble. You're not full of disturbance, not full of confusion. Let's have a look first of all at Philippians chapter 4. We'll go through a few verses in Philippians 4. And we'll start from verse 4 of Philippians 4 as we look at this topic, being quiet from fear of evil. Now, if you've heard sermons from Victory Faith Centre preachers, you will know that there are two types of fear, and the Bible is very clear on that. There's the fear of the Lord, which is the holy fear, the good fear, the way that we should fear, and there is the fear of evil, which God does not want us to have. He delivers us from all our fears. The Bible tells us he doesn't want us to have the fear of evil in our lives. So let's start from Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So let's just stop there for a minute. Does that say rejoice in the Lord only when you feel like it? No. Does it say rejoice in the Lord in certain circumstances? No. Does it say rejoice in the Lord when everything seems to be going well? No, not at all. Does it say rejoice in the Lord even when there's troublesome circumstances and times? It says rejoice in the Lord always, that is, at all times. Okay, so it's not talking about every single minute of the day. It's talking about in every circumstances or situation in life, you are rejoicing. Your whole attitude is one of rejoicing and having the joy of the Lord outworking in your life. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So moderation is just here talking about control, making sure that you're not a person who is not able to control themselves, spirit, soul and body. Obviously, there's many people who we would say are out of control or are allowing other things to control them, including devils and circumstances. Well, we've got to make sure that we're not in that category. Verse 6 is very, very important for us to take hold of tonight so that we can be quiet from fear of evil. It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? It means not to have a worrisome heart. Be careful for nothing means not to allow that worry or those cares of the world to enter in. Okay, be careful for nothing. And once again, this is talking about that worrisome type of care. There are other types of things we've got to be careful for, and that is we've got to be able to do the right things and so on. But this talking about be careful for nothing, and that's not allowing fear into your heart, not allowing worry into your heart. But in everything, not for everything, notice, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we must be God-focused. We must be letting ourselves have our minds focused and stayed upon the Lord. Because if we do that, then we're going to let our requests be made known to God. We're not going to be looking to our own selves for solutions. We're going to be letting the Lord have His way in our life. And notice what happens when you do this type of thing. And you need to say things out loud, out of your heart. And it's a common confession that I do. I am careful for nothing. I am quiet from fear of evil. And I let not my heart be troubled. And that's a very important thing to put into your heart and into your mouth. We must be people that allow our mouths to speak the right things. So let me read verse 6 and then we'll go to verse 7 here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, not for everything, and I make that very, very clear, not everything coming your way is from God, remember that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if we are God-focused and we are letting our requests be made known unto God, then there's a peace of God that will pass all understanding. You know, others around you might be saying, are you silly or something? Look, you've got all of this to worry about. You've got all of that. That looks very fearful. And they'll be concentrating on what they can see and feel and their emotions and so on. But we must be very much word-focused so that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, that means guard and allow your hearts to be stayed in the Lord, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8 he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what's the commandment? Think on these things. We have a responsibility with our minds to think correctly. Do not think it's not the case. It is the case. We have a responsibility to think correctly about things that are good and lovely and honest and true and so on. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, people come to trouble or come to a time where fear is very much being projected out through the world's mechanisms and so on, and they tend to forget the things that they've learnt in the past spiritually. Now, we shouldn't be like that. We should know, for example, how to walk by faith. We should understand about letting our requests be made known unto God. We should understand that God wants us to fear Him, not evil. We should understand what we have learned, what we've been taught, so that when we do come to difficult times in our life personally, or if it visits the nation, that we're ready for it. We're not people that just forget and allow things to just subside into nothingness because we didn't really listen when we should have in a time of peace. And you notice here that if you have received and learned and heard and seen properly and do it, then the God of peace shall be with you. And if you've got the God of peace with you, well, we know that we have perfect peace. We have perfect peace. Glory to God. Let's have a look at Isaiah 26, verse 3. It's an important one because we just talked about thinking on the right things. We just talked about being careful for nothing. And Isaiah 26, verse 3 is a wonderful promise here. And you'll notice that God's promises have conditions attached to them. This is indeed a promise, but there are conditions attached to it. The promise is, in verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So notice, here's the promise. God will keep you in perfect peace, because he's the God of peace. Okay? He's the God of peace. He will keep you in perfect peace. But does it just finish there? Does it say, God's going to keep you in perfect peace no matter what you do? That's not the case at all. You have to do something with your mind. And it says there, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If you trust in the Lord, if you profess to trust in the Lord, you must stay your mind on him. How do we do that? We do it in prayer. We saw that just before. We do it by meditation and reading the Word of God, and getting the Word into our hearts. There's many ways to do that, many ways to get the Word into your heart, many opportunities in today's technological society for that to happen. But we have to take those opportunities. So you get the Word into your heart. Another one is not to sit at the table of the wicked, not to sit with people who are going to fill you with all the wrong thinking and all the wrong thoughts about things all around you. You want to be amongst people of belief, amongst people of faith. So you're here in a good place tonight. You must be people who want to be around those who are going to seek to edify you, seek to build you up, seek to get faith into you, not worry and fear. Seek to get your mind onto the right thing. So you can see that the will of the Lord is that your mind is stayed on him, stayed like those tent pegs in the ground, keeping that tent nice and tight. Okay, so stayed means fixed. His mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And then you have that wonderful promise, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace is being quiet from fear of evil. If you have a look at Proverbs chapter 1, we'll go through a few verses in Proverbs chapter 1 because it all relates to this. How are you acting both in your actions and in your words and, of course, in your thinking? How are you acting, whether it be a peaceful time all around you or peaceful circumstances, or whether it be a troublesome time and troublesome circumstances? How are you acting? And that's very important for us to understand. What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you thinking on? And so let's look at Proverbs 1, starting verse 20. So wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" So here's a question. Is godly wisdom available today? Well, yes, it is. But see, you're not going to get godly wisdom in the local pub. You're not going to get godly wisdom in the local nightclub. You're not going to get godly wisdom if all you're hanging around are people that have no knowledge of God. You'll get godly wisdom through things like fellowship, through getting into the Word, through fellowshipping, obviously, with your Lord, through prayer and praise and worship. You get that godly wisdom by paying attention to it, paying attention to it and allowing it to come into your life. And as it says there, not to love the simplicity of not wanting to learn or grow. You see, we can come to the Bible. Many people come to the Bible and say, "Ooh, it's a hard book. There's just so much in it." Well, what does God say about that? He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto the Lord, approved unto God." So you need to put a bit of effort and study into knowing it. And if you've been in the Lord, for a few years, you should know quite a bit about the Word of God. Not nothing and not little, but quite a bit. And as the decades go on, you shouldn't be forgetting everything. You should be able to start teaching others even, and encouraging the brethren into bringing them into a knowledge of wisdom. So verse 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit," there's little s there, "unto you. I will make known my words unto you." So this little s spirit is God's working of wisdom into your life. Okay, God's working in a spiritual way into you. And what does he make known to you? And how do you know it? You know it spiritually and in your mind. How do you know it? Because you turn at the reproof of the Word of God. And God wants to make his words known to you. Okay, but if you reject wisdom, if you reject that knowledge, if you say, no, I don't want to know about it, it's just too hard living as a Christian, or I don't want to be challenged in the way I live, and you're living for the world, a lot of people in that category, then you're getting into a very dangerous situation, because you're not allowing the Word of God to correct you, you're not allowing that reproof to come along, you're not allowing any direction from the Lord, so that the Lord can say, look, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be sitting at the table of the wicked. You shouldn't be listening to that blasphemy. You shouldn't be lying with the best of them. You shouldn't be swearing. You know, you shouldn't be doing this type of thing. No, you should be able to say, well, Lord, if you have said it, I believe it, and I'm going to put that into operation in my life. But notice what happens if you don't. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. So we know calamity is going to come. Okay, that type of thing that you might have feared, and but you haven't allowed the Lord to come into your life, that type of thing is going to come. And wisdom saying, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge. That's a very strong word, isn't it? They hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. See, it's a very dangerous position to be in. And it's related to the fear of the Lord. It's related to living a holy life. A holy life in the Lord means you do not ignore the Lord. You do not ignore the reproof of his words. You know, and the Lord uses his word, he uses ministers, he uses his instruments on the earth. You know, there are people now who are no longer on the earth who I warned and I said to them, you know, come into fellowship, do this. But they just treated me as a man, as though I knew nothing. That type of thing, you know, they were sitting at the table of the wicked. I could go through many examples. Unfortunately, you know, their lives were shortened, some of them. It says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, verse 30 says, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But notice verse 33. This is a promise that we can grab hold of. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Okay, so if you hearken to the Lord, there's the promise. You'll dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So that fear of evil will not be prominent in your life at all. You'll be quiet from that. It'll be quiet. You'll hear nothing from it. You'll hear nothing from it. That's what it means. So the fear of evil greatly subsides in your life. And even when there's things around that might seem to be fearful, might seem to be pushing various agendas and so on and trying to get people into a fearful state, you could say, no, I'm hearkening to the Lord. I'm hearkening to what He has to say. He said to me that He's my fortress and I stay my mind on Him. He said to me that I can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I'm doing it that, and I'm trusting in Him. Praise the Lord. See, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's look at Psalm 111, verses 1, or we'll look at verses 7 to 10 of Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verses 7 to verse 10. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember that you have to have the fear of the Lord if you're going to be quiet from fear of evil. Isn't that what Proverbs 1 was talking about? And the fear of the Lord will cause you to hearken to the Lord, because wisdom will be prominent in your life. It'll start to rise more and more in your life. And when wisdom speaks, you'll be listening to it. You won't just put it aside. So starting from verse 7, it says, "The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness." So there's something to really put down as a foundation in your life, isn't it? If they're going to stand fast forever and ever, that's something to put down in your life as a foundational thing. It's what Jesus compared to the man building his house upon a rock. He said, that's the person who's building their life on my sayings. Okay, that should be us. Verse 9, "He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name." Now, this is important. We have had redemption sent to us. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are redeemed, and a redeemed people, by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a covenant forever, which has been cut in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And holy and reverend is His name. So we are not going to allow God's name to be slandered in any way, shape or form. And so if we're calling ourselves by the name of Christian, we're not going to be a person who's going to be backing lies or being deceitful or things like that. We're not going to be people who's going to be straying away from the way of faith. No, we must show that the Lord really is in our life strong and shows Himself to be strong. And it's important for us to live that life where we're hearkening to Him. Verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and you can grow in wisdom and be filled with wisdom if you continue on in the Lord. Stay your mind on Him. Trust in Him continually. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verses 1 to 6, 2 Corinthians 7, verses 1 to 6. "For being quiet from fear of evil, you should by now realise, is that it's not a chance, random process. It doesn't come about by chance, being quiet from fear of evil. Being quiet from fear of evil is something that comes about through you investing in your actions and words and what you seek to think on, it's very, very clear that it comes about through that purposeful focusing on the Lord. Starting from verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 7, it says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So the fear of God is not just an Old Testament thing, it's a New Testament thing, and the fear of God has to be in Christians as well. You know, all believers should have the fear of the Lord, and you can see we must be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. So as believers in Christ, notice what he's saying. They're not wronging people, they're not corrupting people, they're not defrauding people. Okay, so what are they concentrating on? Obviously concentrating on that cleansing from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What's the thing that cleanses you? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And God sanctifies and cleanses the church by the washing of the water of the word. That's what Ephesians 5 says. So clearly we must be partaking of that cleansing washing of the water of the word on a regular basis. Regular basis. Glory to God. How important it is to be encouraged in the word, to learn of the word, and to understand the promises of God, of which we've gone through some tonight. Verse 3, "I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Now this is important for us to see. Here is Paul. He went through a lot, and you might say, well, the Lord obviously graced him to be able to do that, and that is correct. Nevertheless, he still, like any man, was subject to temptations. Temptations to go off the track, temptations to fear and to worry. Okay? But what does he say? Even though he's in tribulation, even though there are circumstances that obviously came against Paul, what does he say? "I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Well, obviously he's not getting that joy from the world, is he? He's not getting that comfort from the world. He's not getting that quiet from fear of evil from the world. And you're not going to get it from the world either. You're going to get quiet from fear of evil from the Lord. You're going to get comfort from the Lord. You're going to get joy from the Lord. But you've got to be a person who is perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Verse 5, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest." So there you are. He was in a situation where his flesh had no rest. "But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." Okay, so even he at times succumbed to fears. But you don't allow that to stay, do you? All right, so fear can come. And you might say, well, I'm troubled in my heart. I've allowed it to get in. But you don't allow it to stay. And the more you come against fear in your life, the more you develop yourself and be so that you're careful for nothing and you're quiet from fear of evil, the less it'll be able to affect you. Verse 6, he turned to God, he looked to God. "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." So God is on your side, okay? The government may not be on your side, certainly not on the side of Christians at the moment. The government and others around you may not be on your side, may think that going to church is a waste of time, may think that being a Christian is a foolish position to have. But you know, we're interested in what God has to say, what God's thinking about things is. We want to have the mind of Christ. We want to have the mind of the Lord about things. And here we see the source of comfort in verse 6 to those that are cast down. And sometimes you've got to speak to your soul. The book of Psalms talks about, soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. That's what the scripture says. And here we see in verse 6, nevertheless God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. So see that God used the coming of a man into their midst as a way of comforting people. You know? Would you have been comforted if I had been trembling in fear and worry about everything? Would you have been comforted if people around you who've said they're Christians are falling down and not able to function? It's not going to be comforting, is it? You want to see that even in a difficult time, people are standing for Christ. They're doing things that are along the lines of faith. That's a very, very important thing for us to see. And we want to see that. And we want to see that not just in our midst, we want to see that right across the body of Christ. That's our desire. It should be our desire. And really, we are looking for that. We're looking for that. We want people to be quiet from fear of evil and say things like Paul said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. That's the way we should be. But you can't have that. You can't have that perfect peace unless your mind is stayed on God. And your mind has to be stayed on God. You have to do it. God's not going to do it for you. You know, if you want to be a person who has strength, who is able to stand and having done all to stand, if you want to be that type of person, you've got to be a person who, even when trouble comes, makes a decision for the Lord and to say, well, I'm going to stay my mind on Him. I'm going to trust in Him. Let's have a look at Psalm. We'll go through a couple of scriptures here. Psalm 46. And we'll look at verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 46 there. Verses 1 to 3, and then we'll go across to verse 10. So Psalm 46, what does it say here? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now think about that. He's present with you. Did Jesus say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? He did. He's a great shepherd. He doesn't leave or forsake his people. So don't let it, devils or circumstances or anything, try to say that that's the case. He's a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Well, they're huge events. The earth being removed and the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. They're huge events. But still we're saying, therefore will not we fear. We're not going to fear. Why? Because we've got a refuge and strength. And that refuge and strength is God. And if you want to know how powerful our God is, well, our galaxy is made up of millions of stars, hundreds of millions of stars. And the universe is made of hundreds of millions of galaxies. How many stars is that? Beyond our understanding. And yet the Lord made all of that. And more. I mean, there's just so much we could go into. These are lessons for us to see how powerful the Lord is. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But you've got to concentrate on Him, not the trouble. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. though the mountains shake with the with the swelling thereof, Selah. Selah means think on this. This is what we should be thinking of. Praise the Lord. Go across now to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So God is saying, look, there might be things saying, well, the church is failing, things are not going the Lord's way, Christianity is weaker than ever. But do you know the Lord is saying, I'm going to have my victory. I'm going to have it no matter what. And he's saying to us, be still and know that I am God. I think we need to know that he is God. If we really understand that, it's going to make it that much easier to be quiet from fear of evil, because we're going to hearken to him. We're going to listen to him. We're going to be people that choose his ways and choose to listen to him. Praise the Lord. And we'll finish with 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. I think this is a very relevant scripture for us today. 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. You know, it can be quite disheartening when you see Christians acting as though God is not very powerful. Well, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We might as well just continue on verses 3 and 4 as well. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will, so this is his will, he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, that's not saying that everyone will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's saying this is his will. You know, we should be praying for the government. We should be, as it says there, for kings and for all that are in authority. And you know what the Lord can do? He can put the hooks into the mouth of the government to do the right thing, even if they don't want to do the right thing. He can do that. Why? Because he wants us, his people, to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. He doesn't want his people to be in turmoil. But you imagine if the whole of the body of Christ in Australia were all faith people, were all interceding and praying and giving thanks and praying for the government that they do the proper thing, even if they don't want to. You know, the Bible says he makes, if our ways please him, he makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. He wants a people of God where our ways are pleasing to him. And that's what I've been saying right through tonight. Because we can be quiet from fear of evil, but you know, we want it so that the whole of the body of Christ is like that. And there's not this excuse and reasons why they don't want to go the way of the Word of God, but that there be an opening up for the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for a quiet and peaceable life in our circumstances that we're in even now, Lord. We know that our commitment is for godliness and honesty and to have the fear of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as you look upon our hearts, that if there be anything that needs to be fixed or adjusted, that you indeed show us this and point it out, Lord, in whatever way might need to be done, Lord, so that we can be people that are aligned to you, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we commit ourselves to keeping our minds on you and to hearkening to your voice and to wisdom, godly wisdom, Lord, so that we can be quiet from fear of evil. Help us in this, Lord. You're a very present help in time of trouble, and we praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.